If you will, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. It is good to be here with you again. I often remember the last time I was here, and I always enjoy listening to the devotions and the Sunday school lessons when I'm in other churches as well as my own, but I still remember the blessing that the devotion was that Brother Charlie gave about his thankfulness and how the Lord had blessed him, and just different things that really clicked with me that day. And the church was a real blessing to me and my family when we was here, and you have been over the years, and your pastor as well, and we thank you for that. We thank you for your prayers and ask that you pray for us to stay as we strive to share God's word with you. In 2 Peter chapter 1, very familiar passage of scripture. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And there's the clock. I want to make sure I don't go over and know what time I started. I know you would. Brother Brad asked me if I was nervous, and I said, no, not yet. He said, well, you should be. So he got his 2 cents in this morning. We look at this passage of Scripture in these 10 verses. There's a whole lot here, and we won't even attempt to look at everything here, but there is a lot here. There's a lot to consider. One thing I would tell you, I think it is very important, this verse does not teach, or these verses do not teach, and the Word of God does not teach that we can lose our salvation. But I do believe that we can get to the point in our lives where we have gotten so far away from the Lord, although that we're saved, we can forget what God has done for us. We can forget the forgiveness that God granted unto us through Jesus Christ our Lord. The children of Israel, what did he say about them? He said, they have forgotten me days without number. And we're just like them. You know, we like to think of ourselves more than what we are sometimes, but at best, we're just human beings. We're flesh. We're saved by the grace of God, but we fail him. So I want to look at, this morning, basically virtue. But before that, the Lord brought something out to me a little bit more. And that is that we are called to glory and virtue. We are called to glory. You know, as we consider that, glory, we are called to a high place of honor in salvation. And again, I think that's something that I know in my own life, from time to time, I forget. I am called to that high place of honor. Go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. In verse 18, a very, very familiar passage of scripture about really two sons and a father that's wealthy. And we see here that the youngest son goes away, wants his inheritance, goes away from the family, from his dad. And then in verse 18, as he is returning, after he spent everything, and we know the story, and he's in bad shape, he says, I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You know, this really is a picture of us and Jesus Christ. It's a picture of us and God and what he did for us. And when he saved our souls, he gave us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We could say that we got the robe of righteousness of Christ. And he gave us the title as children of his. That is a place of honor. Christianity is so abused today. And salvation, the title salvation, and everything is so much lumped together today that it's so easy to forget how truly blessed that we are. Even on our really bad days, and we all have those really bad days, and even in those really bad times in our life, if we're saved by the grace of God, we have the greatest gift and we have the greatest place of honor. And, you know, sometimes in the flesh we can be going through difficulties, as we all do, and wonder. We should never question God. We should never question God's love for us, because he has placed us in that place of honor. Now, as we consider that place of honor, if you go back to 2 Peter, God has saved our souls through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us that place of honor. He has adopted us as his children. So he's called us to that glory, but he's called us to something else. He's called us to virtue. How, and I think virtue plays a huge role in how we give testimony of the position that God has placed us in. For an example, almost anybody and everybody you want to ask today is going to heaven. Now, I know there's some that will point blank tell you, no, I'm not interested in God. I don't believe in God. Or I used to, and I know I'm lost, and I know if I die, I'm going to hell. I know there are some that say that. But many today, like the Word of God says, they profess they know God, but in works they deny him. I've never taught this lesson before. This is what the Lord brought before my mind. Those of you know Brother Junior Bourne, you know, passed away a few days ago. And he's been on my mind, certainly a virtuous man. You know, a lot of times when people pass away, they can be the biggest scoundrel or meanest person that ever walked the face of the earth, and people are always going to say nice things about him. But many times, and I know it's been the experience, no doubt, with people in this church, there are those that die and they go to be with the Lord. And truly, they were a blessing. They were a blessing to the church. They were a blessing to strangers. Maybe you can have testimony in your life when you were going through that difficult time, and that person specifically took the time to be a blessing to you. And truly, that's how our brother Bourne was. And why I mention him is because virtue, what that simply means, we'll look at some definitions. Virtue means good behavior, goodness, righteousness, morality, integrity, dignity, honor, decency, respectability, and nobility. And as you think of these things, and as you think of this word virtue, we're to add to our faith, we see in this passage of Scripture, we're to add to our faith virtue. God has saved us. God has adopted us into His family. You know, we go around and we carry His name with us. And the question I ask myself, as well as all of us here this morning, is how do we carry the name of God our Father out in this world? How do we carry the name of God when we come into the house of God? Are we grateful to even be in the house of God this morning? It ought to remind us, if we're here and we're saved, we're here. One reason is because God has saved our soul and has given us a relationship with Him through His Son. So virtue, good behavior. I preached a message a long time ago the Lord placed upon my heart, and the title of it was basically good for nothing. Saved, but good for nothing. And I can testify to you, there's been times in my life since the Lord has saved my soul that I was going to heaven, but my light certainly wasn't shining very bright. And I think sometimes in the flesh, we have to be careful that we say, well, I'm saved by grace, so therefore my works don't matter. Works do matter. Works doesn't save us. Works doesn't keep us saved. But if we're going to be pleasing to the Lord, and if we're going to be used of the Lord, our works are huge because they honor God and they're a blessing to other people. You know, the world has, and I try to remind myself of this often, the world has enough bad excuses. And when you and I don't remind ourselves of this, that's okay because other people will. The world has had plenty of bad excuses of Christianity. However, none of those bad excuses will hold up between them and God. Because the person down the road, if they're never saved, if they never repent, they cannot blame anyone else because God has been faithful to give them a witness, to give them access to His Word, to hear the gospel. But I still desire, and I think we should desire to be used of the Lord. Well, when we think of virtue, look at Proverbs 31. We look at Proverbs 31, and the Lord placed this upon my heart, and you know, we automatically think of, as we should, the virtuous woman. But the characteristics that we find here isn't just for a woman. I mean, these things are for all of God's people, but it mentions the virtuous woman here. But I want to notice that the Word of God tells us that we are to add virtue to our faith. So we want to notice some things that if we're going to be virtuous, lost my notes. I will get there. Notice verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? So I was reading this. This is the first thing that came to me when I read this verse. Why, I don't know, but the Lord pressed upon my heart. The first thing that I would tell you, considering the virtue that you and I should have, is we shouldn't be self-righteous. Self-righteous. You know, a lot of times we get so virtuous that we tell everybody how virtuous we are. Well, I did this for so-and-so. Well, I did this for the Lord. Well, I did this, and I've sacrificed this. No, we need to remember that in Ephesians it tells us that we're saved by grace, not by works, and there's no room for any boasting. So any good that's within me or anybody else here that saved this morning is nothing more than to go back to God, because it is His grace. If the Lord wouldn't have seen fit to save my soul, I'd be lost. And I would be doing what lost sinners do. So I may be in church, I may not be, but I'd still be lost. It's only His grace. Notice, she is not self-righteous. The heart of her husband doeth safely trust in her, so that she will have no need of spoil. And as I give you some of the things the Lord impressed upon my heart, you may come away and say, well, where do you get that? Well, what I find here is a virtuous woman, as well as a virtuous person, is someone that can be depended upon. You know, isn't it frustrating in relationships, whether it's whatever the relationships, employee, employer, or kids, fathers, marriage, whatever the case is, when you can't depend upon that person? It's frustrating. And that is a bad testimony for a Christian when they cannot be depended upon. And all these are very practical things, but we as God's people ought to be the most dependable people that are out there. We see that people should have confidence and be able to have confidence within us. Then we see in verse 12, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. I believe not just the virtuous woman, but the virtuous person will always seek to do others well. Is that the testimony that you and I have? We always seek to do others well. There's people out there that could use our prayers. There's people out there that can use things that you and I have. There's people out there that we could do well, but we got to step out of our comfort zones and do those things for those people. Verses 13 through 19. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household, a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. The next thing I would say about virtue is not only dependable, not only does others well, but has a very good work ethic. And although we're reading way over here in virtue concerning the virtuous woman, excuse me, you know who I think of as I'm reading these things is the Apostle Paul. Because the Apostle Paul, as I'm reading these characteristics and these things that describe this woman, the Apostle Paul is a great example to me, because he was a lot of what we don't see today. He was just a good man. He had good, he couldn't just preach, but he backed up what he preached. And he was just an exemplary man, I guess is what I would say, just as the virtuous woman is here. We see also in verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. How do you and I treat the poor? You know, the book of James tells us that if someone comes in the house of God and they're a person of means, and we say to that person, sit thou here, and we say to that person that's poor, that's maybe the clothes aren't very nice, and we say, why don't you go back over and kind of sit back that way? That we're not to be that way. And I don't believe that we are, and I don't believe that this church is, but I do believe that we have to be very careful that when people come in and into our lives, whether it's into our church building or just in our path, God has placed them there for a reason. I'll tell you a quick story. I try to stay focused, but I got to tell you this. I switched jobs, and I came across a young man, 19, 20 years old. Immediately, I have kids that age, so I always ask, where are you from? Well, I found out this young man was 19, 20 years old, and he was from Maryland. And he had a good work ethic, and so I was impressed with him. And I said, well, I'm surprised you're not on your cell phone like everybody else. And he looks at me, and he goes, you're going to like this story. He looks at me, and he goes, well, I don't have a cell phone. I said, he goes, yeah, he goes, I don't really have anything. He goes, I was raised really strict, and he went on and on and on. And he goes, I was raised Independent Baptist. I said, and he was going on about it, you know. And I said, well, I'm Independent Baptist. Come to find out, this young man was in foster care pretty much his whole life. He's lost. But he was raised in very bad situations. His parents didn't want nothing to do with him. He's married at the age of 19 years old, has a kid, moved out to Ohio, has absolutely nothing. And come to church and just pretty much nothing. I mean, paint specks all over his shoes. And I say that because it reminded me there's people like that out there. And we can look the other way, or we can try to be a blessing to them. And the people in our community have really, really been a blessing. But there's a lot of people that's had it a whole lot rougher than you and I have had it. And we need to remember not just the wealthy, not just the people that we're comfortable with. We need to remember those that are needy. She stretcheth. You say, Scott, how do you get way out there? She stretcheth out her hands to the needy. Virtuous people, we have to be willing to stretch our hands out to the needy. And the Lord reminds us too, again, if we're going to be virtuous, we don't go and do things for needy people and then turn around and shout a trumpet and say, look what I have done. You know, there's so much of that today. And we're all guilty because it's that flesh within us. It's like we lose our blessing because God gives us opportunity. And then we're so weak in the flesh, I'm so weak in the flesh, that we can't hold it to ourselves. But the Lord says, don't even let your other hand know what you did. So, I mean, just be very... So we need to be considerate of the poor and the needy. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Again, our tongue... And the Bible is clear that the tongue can no man tame. And we try, and sometimes our passions and our flesh gets the best of us. Our brother was sharing about the speed. One of my weaknesses is driving. Red lights take too long. I kept telling Kim this morning, why are these red lights in Michigan so long? You know, and then you couldn't do little U-turns. It's easy to start complaining and murmuring, and our tongue can get the best of us. But if we're going to be virtuous and represent our place of honor well, we have to be in control of our tongue. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. We need to look well to the ways of our household. And, you know, I look at the Apostle Paul, and he talked about that quite a bit. I have a lot of scriptures. We won't get to all of them. But I do want to notice 1 Timothy chapter 3. God has placed us in a place of honor. How do we reflect that place of honor? Well, we see the virtuous woman. Now let's look at another passage of Scripture that I think sometimes we don't look at enough. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. So, well, the bishop must be blameless or above reproach. It isn't God's desire that the pastor of a church hold qualifications, but all the other men in the church or all the other people in the church don't hold any of them. That's not the plan. If someone says, I feel the Lord is calling me to preach and they want to be ordained, these are the minimum standards. And, you know, down through the years, we know people have gotten away from this because there's people at times that preach and that pastor, and I'm not referring to anybody, but, you know, my dad being in the ministry, I've seen it in past. You find out they were nowhere near being qualified. And there are qualifications, just like to anything. I mean, God has standards. But don't miss the fact that we say, well, we want our pastor to be blameless. God has called all of us to be blameless. That's a qualification for them, but that's a qualification for every child of God, to be blameless. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober. Notice this, of good behavior. You know, the Word of God has a whole lot to say, and I have a lot of references that I will not get to, but the Word of God has a whole lot to say about God's people being of good behavior. Not being rude. You know, and I think our brother touched on McDonald's this morning. You know, you're on a half-hour break, and you got to get back to work. You can't be late. And, you know, you sit in Burger King for 20 minutes, and finally you say, I just got to go. And you get worked up, and you get upset. And sometimes, you know, we may think we're justified, but we still have to be of good behavior. And regardless of what the circumstances are, I know in the flesh that's hard. It's very hard, but it can be done with the help of the Lord. Given to hospitality. Again, you know, just, and I can say this, they're not here, but the last time that we came up, I didn't know, I think it was the Smiths. I've known this church pretty much my whole life, but I was younger when I came here, so I didn't know a whole lot of people by name, but it was a blessing to be treated the way that we were treated by them, and we need to be hospitable one to another. And I think a lot of times when we think of hospitality, we think of just having people over in our home, but I think we need to be loving and warm to one another, not cold and not distant. I mean, this is a cold, distant world. We need to be sure that we are being as loving as we can be and affectionate one to one another. If we're saved, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, my dad used to say, and he'd chuckle, he'd say, that person that you don't like, the Lord may put you next to them when you get to heaven. Of course, it's not going to matter. We're all going to be perfect then, but let me give you these in closing quickly, and there's so much that I skipped over. I think of Joseph often. Joseph, the husband of Mary, when I think of someone of good behavior. Joseph really thought he had every right to be upset, and justifiably he did. But yet he didn't know the whole story until the angel of the Lord revealed it unto him. Mary didn't, she didn't do him wrong, but it would appear that she did until the angel of the Lord. And what's it say about Joseph? It says that Joseph was a just man and was minded to put her away privily. He was going to do it discreetly. He wasn't going to make a big scene about it. Because guess what? When someone wrongs us, and we all get wrong, but when someone wrongs us, God will deal with them. I've been on the receiving end of those, and I've seen people that have wronged me that have been on the receiving. God, we don't get away with anything. We give it over to the Lord. The Lord will deal with them. And then I thought of, quickly, Joseph, the son of Jacob. Joseph kept himself from fornication. Joseph could have lived his whole life being bitter. He had so many things that people did wrong to him. But what did he do? He maintained his good behavior throughout. I thought of one of my favorites was Daniel. Daniel, it says in Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, says that Daniel had an excellent spirit within him. And his peers were jealous, and they tried to find things to trap him in. And what did they say? We can't find anything wrong with this guy. The only way that we're going to get him is if we get him concerning his God. And what a testimony that Daniel had. Three more. Ruth. Ruth forsook the world and clave unto God, the people of God, and Naomi. Lydia, full of hospitality. When we found out we was having a girl, I always loved the story of Lydia. It said, and God opened her heart. And what did she do when he opened her heart? She was different. She wanted to be a blessing to the people of God. I'll close with this one, and the most importantly, we are called to honor. How do you and I reflect that honor in our virtue and our behavior? Jesus Christ, first of all, quickly, he was subject to his parents. Yes, he was God in the flesh, but he was still subject to his parents. You know, it still blesses me today, and you come to our church, and we have a ton of kids, and we have a lot of kids that have grown up and remain faithful in the church. And excuse me, I see kids here today and people that I know that have been faithful to remain in the church. And that's a blessing to see, because the Lord is going to bless your life. When you're subject to your parents and you honor your mom and dad, that is one of the best ways the Lord is going to bless your life. That's following the example of Jesus Christ. Second of all, he was subject to the laws of the land. Jesus was subject to the things of the land. He was subject, most importantly, to God his Father. He spake no guile, and he reviled not again. And I'll close with that. Thank you.